I'm thinking the best way to start this is maybe we can just like do introductions or something, and maybe each person can say like what kind of activism, I know that's kind of a dirty word now, but what kind of, work you're doing in the community or if any or whatever, maybe that's the best way to start out probably. So whoever
Sure. Yeah,
wants to, you know.
good. Yeah, I guess I'll start. My name is Danielle Warhala, and I do a lot of work with, I don't know, some animal rights organizing. I'm really into co-ops. I do organizing with sex workers and working for their rights, and those are, I guess, some of the main things, but, day-to-day other things, whatever comes up, really.
Okay, cool.
My name's Lycan, and right now I'm pretty much exclusively doing trans allyship, trans inclusion. Been involved with Forest Defense, community building, oh, a lot of stuff. That's totally what I'm, oh, doula work, birth equity, and access to abortion and whatnot.
Okay, cool.
I prefer not to say my whole name, but I'll just go by T for the functions of this show. And what I mainly do is housing justice related work and also prison abolition work.
Hi, I'm Genevieve, and I do survivor support for survivors of sexual assault. And I also work on housing justice.
Okay, thanks everybody for doing that. I just want to actually give our listeners an idea that, the people that we're talking to are not just some random people who came off the street to, harass people who were trying to, give out this literature at the GGR table. Like you're all involved in the community, like you're all very socially aware and active, and like there's a reason why this stuff happened. And I'm trying to There's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of lies that are actually being put out there right now, and I think part of the purpose of this interview is to maybe get your point of view out there and to maybe get the truth out there, because I mean I don't, you don't strike me as people who would just make up a story, and I think that's what's going on right now. Like the DGR people are saying that like basically anarchists are all liars and that we're all like opportunists and that we'll say whatever we need to say to like make ourselves look good or something like that. And I'm actually looking at I'm looking right now at a screen capture from, I guess this is from the DGR listserv or something. And Derek Jensen is talking like all this shit on anarchists and saying how like, let me scroll down to what he's saying basically. He says the anarchists are liars. It's what anarchists do. And he basically goes on this long angry tirade, but the problem is that people listen to him, like they take his word as being like, manna from heaven, so I think it's important for us to, try to counter that viewpoint that's really going to be put out there. He's writing a book right now about how evil anarchism is and about how evil queer theory is, so there's going to be a real sort of battle coming up. So I think right now, before we actually talk about like what happened at the conference, can y'all talk a little bit about like how you first became aware of DGR and its transphobia? Could you maybe go around and talk about that a little bit?
I guess I can speak a little bit from my own experience, which is that, like, I guess I feel as like a feminist, it's my responsibility to be aware of when that word is used to affect people, and like, I feel it's my responsibility to do the research on that and like realize that like that word has sometimes been used to cover like the oppression of like people who are queer, people who are trans, the oppression of Black women. Like, if I like want to identify as a feminist, I have to be very like well educated on when it's been used as a tool of oppression.
Right.
But my first experience with DGR was coming across their literature in the info shop that I was working in and reading through it, thinking it was thinking that it was initially like cool or that it was going in the right direction, and then I was actually like let known about Lair Keith transmisogyny through comrades of mine, and like immediately distanced myself from that project, and like didn't want anything to do with it after that.
For me, last year in Portland, Oregon, there was a RADFEM conference that was coming up, and I had known a bit about RADFEM from the RCDs, but it never really came close to home, and I actually didn't realize how large the movement was of RADFEM, because, I don't know, I guess it's just not something that I was focusing on super hard. So some of my friends and I were like, hey, why don't we organize against this year? Because this is coming to our town, and we want to keep our town and, like, call it what you will, but we want to keep it clean. And, like, we don't need, like, leftist stuff that looks like it's going to be sneaking in, you know, like oppression under the guise of feminism, as this person was just saying. And so as well, I very much read up on the RADFEMs, and they're very anti-sex work, vehemently, to the point of violence, and thinking that sex workers should be wiped out, trans particular. So I guess that's sort of where my thing was. We didn't actually end up doing anything because we kind of fizzled out, and we realized it was a very small gathering in Portland. But that's sort of where I got more educated on that. And I have been around a lot of people who are really into feminism and deep ecology and all those things, and who idolize Derek Jensen and Lear Keith. So it's interesting to... for people who have the analysis, who are on the right side of things, to be, I guess that's more for later. But that's basically. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else on this issue want to chime in on that?
Yes. My first experience with DGR was actually being invited to the Unis Tilton Action Camp. I guess I just want to say that I am, it seems like Deep Green Resistance is actually doing pretty good work allying with Native peoples. The Unis Tilton are a people up in northern British Columbia who are fighting against 7 pipelines being built on their land. And DGR was doing a caravan up there. I actually got denied entrance to Canada, so I didn't get to go. That was before I knew about the transphobia. It makes me sad that they have pretty much shot themselves in the foot and prevented themselves from doing good work because of their transphobia. I learned about their transphobia later, just kind of as an off, radical vegan queers who were like, she's anti, she's transphobic and she doesn't think people should be vegan, just kind of as like a whole bundle of things against their keys. I did my research later and didn't really realize how virulent it was until I did my research about it. So, I just came to that on my own and had arguments with a friend who was in DGR over that.
Yeah, I agree that DGR, they do some good work, and that's why this whole situation is so unfortunate, because they have a lot of people who have a lot of good intentions in the organization. And, unfortunately, a lot of them are being led astray by this backwards form of radical feminism. So, let's talk a little bit about the conference and what happened at the conference. I know there was basically 2 or 3 different, confrontations, we could call it. But
there was,
yeah, but right now, like, this is what DGR is saying, basically. They're saying that a group of men... violently assaulted the people at the table. This is basically their claim. And right now they're putting out, just a few hours ago, they put out this communique basically saying, protect women, feminism, and free speech. And I'll send it to the Facebook thread so you can maybe look it over if you want. And so I just want to ask you all, like, when you first saw that table at the conference, like, what were the first thoughts in your mind, and like, what made you want to actually go and confront these people there?
Well, the first sign that I saw that there was DGR presence there, I was actually sitting down. I was about to do a workshop at the conference, and so I was sitting with my friends, and I noticed that there was a man standing over three people that I recognized, very loudly speaking over them with this like very macho posturing about how saying these things over and over, like, there's nothing wrong with being cis, it's okay to be cis, and basically as soon as they would respond, shouting over them. So I didn't even know that this person was involved in DGR. I just thought that this was some random person shouting. So I pulled them off before I went to my workshop, and then found out that they were in DGR. And then that next morning, me and a group of people, some of which you're talking to now, and also right as I went into my workshop is when this like fatal burrito incident happened, which I didn't actually witness, but to me, I mean, it made sense in that situation.
If I can chime in and account for one of the other incidents, the one that is being called the assault against the two women, they misgendered the people who were confronting them, and those folks were going to take the literature, which is Queer Teeth and Feminism, I believe, or which one of it, it's like UGR Feminism, and they were like, are these free? And they took them, and then they were proceeding to mark a book, the cover of a Queer Teeth book, and the people put their hands in the way of the material, and that's how that happened.
Right. So no one was like intentionally trying to write on these people at the table, right?
Nobody was trying to write on the women. They put their hands in the way.
Okay.
I also think it's very notable that they intentionally misgendered these people. Like, they were not men. That is an act of oppression to misgender these people like that.
Right.
And I think that I honestly feel that like a lot of actions that were taken were defensive because DGR is really right now playing this card of victimization as if like what happened were like the vicious assault of two women, and most of the directly like bad interactions that I had with the people in DGR were actually from cis men who were bullying and intimidating women or genderqueers at the conference. Okay. It's a very intentional position of making them feel uncomfortable, questioning their identity based upon what they felt was the correct analysis.
Hmm.
I am really maddened by the, like, given the work that I do and what I see, actual, like, patriarchal behavior and actual, like, blatant intimidation on a day-to-day basis in, like, radical community, like, the use of that as, like, an excuse and a cover-up is horrifying to me because it means it sort of weakens those words, and it, like, weakens my ability to stand up for people or, like, advocate for people who, like, survived, like, assault in the community.
Right. First of all, I want to really commend you guys. I don't think I said this. I meant to say this in the beginning, but I want to commend, not you guys, but you know what I mean, like, all you people there, for what you did, you know? Because I think people have been really agitated and really bothered by a lot of this transphobia within DGR for a while now. And like I said to Danielle in the message, like, I've been fighting against this for a few years. And because my website and like my organization has been sort of like lumped in with the DGR in some ways because we have a similar name. So because of that reason, because I personally know trans people and are friends with them, you know, like, I feel like I have to fight back against this. And I feel like if this incident hadn't happened, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation on the internet and in real life, and none of this would have happened. And I feel like because you all took the initiative to actually stand up and say something and actually fight for people's rights, you know, now things are finally coming to light. People are realizing that, you know, the leaders of DGR are fucking horrible and that something has to change. So I just want to really commend you all for doing what you did. Now, I know there was another confrontation on the second day. Does anybody want to talk about what happened during that confrontation?
Yeah, this was on Sunday. So a group of people who, some of which you're talking to, decided to approach DGR to basically let it be known that none of us felt comfortable with the presence there, and that like, their presence there was actually making a lot of people feel unwelcome and intimidated. And so this group of people, when we made it up to the table, we immediately asked them to pack up their stuff and leave. They told us that they were intending to, but were not making any sort of motions to do so. It kind of seemed like they were biding their time as much as they could. We were speaking to them in a way that was like very assertive and was very like letting them know like where we stood. And I think there's actually a video of it now on the internet that's circulating, at least part of it. And at one point during the conversations that we were trying to have with this person, it was a man and a woman. The man told us that he had no reason to believe that their Keith was transphobic. Right, and yeah. That prompted like a bit of outrage from everybody there. And so they ultimately started packing up and leaving. I guess it's from there that they contacted either Derek Jensen or somebody else, and where this was made to be the public shitstorm that it is now.
Yeah, and I want to commend some of the people in that group who like wrote out reading lists and study lists about sort of like queer educating for those people, like people who this guy had been blatantly denying, like their virulent hate speech, just like denying it to people who have like obviously read it and like been hurt by it, and they like you know they still went ahead and like gave this guy these reading lists, and they like, and I don't know, I like, to me that just was like so like brave and like
yeah,
just like thing to do. And I think also one thing that this dude notably said was that like he created resistance but refused in any way like hold the RTs accountable was like something that was like asked of him. Like, you know, if your group does have the potential to do good things, like would you be willing to like hold her accountable or like for this hate speech? And he said no.
That's interesting. Like on DGR's page, when they wrote their incident report, they said that on the day you're talking about, they said Sunday, I'm reading a little bit from here, it says Sunday, the DGR crew went back for more tabling, and an angry mob of queer activists again approached the table yelling and cursing at them and demanded that they leave. Now, would you say that, I mean, how would you take issue with what they're saying? Because they're making it sound like everyone just kind of approached the table yelling and screaming and just demanding that they leave. Are you saying that that didn't happen?
I would chime in and say that for the anger that I honestly feel for the organization, when I asked them to leave, told them to leave, I was surprised because that video came out at how polite we all were, to be honest. I was like, oh my God. Because, you know, like, when you're in that and you're talking to somebody, you don't know where this individual is coming from, but you know that they're representing your enemy and something that you hate and that oppresses your community and your friends, and you're going up there and you feel really angry, and then you realize, like, how calm you were being. And I'm, you know, it wasn't right. Like an ace. We weren't going up and, like, burning down their table or anything like that. So
there were, I would argue that there were no voices raised. There were statements that were assertive. There was definite anger, but there was also like a point in which like, and actually, like, try to educate them and, like, give them, like, a list of things to read, which was, like, a very integral and important part of this conversation and a very integral part of the conversation that we had with them as well.
I'd like to speak about my experience, and I think before I speak about this, I would like to talk a little bit about what happened immediately prior to this altercation. Basically, one of my friends taught a workshop on oxytocin, and I asked this friend if the workshop was going to be trans-friendly, and she said, oh, yes, it's going to be trans-friendly. So my girlfriend, who's transgender, went to this workshop, was greeted with a lot of cis-sexist language, and when the workshop presenter was approached about that, she refused to do anything about it. This made my girlfriend storm out of the room and made me tell a workshop presenters that after this workshop, we were having a mandatory talk on how to incorporate trans inclusion into your workshop. The workshop presenters were really open to this, and we had about a 15-minute talk with everyone who was at the workshop about why cis-sexist language is offensive and how to address that. And she actually responded in a way that was really appropriate to being called out. She apologized for her behavior, and she said that she would do it differently, and she said that she wanted to work with me and my girlfriend to make her events more inclusive in the future. So we proceeded to talk for about an hour about that, and so I was kind of going off that high of like, oh, hey, this was a situation which a really bad situation was kind of diffused and made into something more positive. It was about 10 minutes after I stopped talking to her that a group of my friends turned around and said, we are going to go yell at Debring Resistance. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do this. And we started walking. We probably walked about 500 feet, just telling everyone around us, like, hey, we're going to go yell at Debring Resistance. And by the time we got to the table, we had about 15 people. I would say that that there was yelling, and I definitely saw a lot of people who were angry and frustrated. A lot of trans people and allies who were angry and frustrated that their voices were silent. But since I do have a really good friend in DGR, and since I had just had this, since I had to just call out another good friend on oppressive behavior, I also saw two people on the other side of the table from DGR who were feeling defensive because they were being yelled at. Not saying I was a part of that group that was yelling. I'm not saying that was the wrong thing to do because, you know, people were obviously really upset and triggered, but I did see defensiveness on their side and just the continued assertion that Debring Resistance was not transphobic. And I was like, oh, man, how are we going to make this into a fruitful discussion? There's no way to make this into a fruitful discussion. And I was like, oh, right. Are y'all interested in educating yourselves and calling Lyra Keith out on her transphobia? To which the male in the group replied, no. And we were like, oh, okay, this is over. This conversation is done. Y'all are getting out of here. But then it was a compound question, and he realized that he had misheard me. And he was like, oh, yes, I am interested in educating myself. So I was like, does anybody have any book recommendations? And the two books were recommended were Whipping Girl, A Transsexual Woman on Sexism and the Scapegoating of Femininity by Julia Serrano, and Gender Outlaws on Men, Women, and the Rest of Us by Kate Bornstein, which are two of the best books you can read to start learning about these issues. And I feel like that was the most productive thing that came of that. I quickly left the room. Right after I wrote down that reading list, I left the room because I needed to do some self-care and distance myself from the situation. But that happened from my perspective.
Right. Now, you've all said that they repeatedly said, you know, Debring Resistance is not transphobic, and this is something that they're repeating over and over again, you know, on the internet, on Facebook, and on, like, the Earth First articles that they put out, and other people who aren't really too aware of the situation are asking that same question because they don't really know too much about radical feminism. They don't really know too much about, you know, the stuff that's going on in the queer community, and maybe these are just like regular people, you know. So how would you guys explain to people DGR's transphobia? Like, how are they actually transphobic in like the information and their and their analysis of gender?
I mean, to me, it's like it's the fact. I think the fact that like Lyra Keith by herself takes a like very warped like Mary Daly influenced school of cultural feminism to an extreme, which that by itself is troubling in a position of leadership. But in that video where Rachel Ivey actually like talks about their gender analysis being the core of DGR and how that's such an important aspect of DGR's praxis was extremely disturbing, as well as firsthand reports of people that I know that have gone to their camps and have actually been split up into dormitories that are based upon designation at birth, which creates a very unsafe environment.
Wait, what? hold up. So trans people went to a DGR camp and like they were identifying themselves as a woman or female, but they were put into a dorm with men, you're saying?
Yeah, that was the option. That was the choice. It was either that or go home. That was the choice that was presented.
Oh, wow. That's pretty fucked up.
Someone who is very close to, or not, I don't know how close they were, but actually a very strong person, just released a letter from Lyra Keith in the wake of this, where they are constantly referring to, trans women being men in women's clothes, and saying very violent things, and referring to trans folks as transgender. That is the zinger on those. So that's out. The thing with Rachel Ivey is just they say that this is policy. If this were not policy, then DGR would not be in existence. We would leave, and where would you be then? That's what it says in the video. I think that that's pretty telling. Just how deep it runs. And it really all comes down to this quote, as taken from a longer quote about comparing different types of oppression inappropriately. Under that condition created by a brutal arrangement of power, I can't fathom how mutilating people's bodies to fit an oppressive power arrangement is frankly anything but a human rights violation. And then insisting that they are women is insulting and absurd.
Yeah. And there's also a question of, people say, oh, you shouldn't judge people by their friends all the time or by the people that they associate with, but it seems that a good number of people, especially the leaders of DGR, have some like pretty shady transphobic friends or acquaintances. What would you have to say about the fact that there are a lot of people who are like coming to DGR's aid and they're saying like all these messed up things, but like DGR has like nothing to say about all of these like crazy, really vicious attacks that people are making on the behalf of like radical feminism?
They're very complicit in it. A big time blogger in the radical feminist community, who I will not name here, was actually complimented on her analysis by Derek Jensen, and this was all over the Facebook page before it was deleted. And this person in particular, the Rad Fem blogger, is somebody who likes to take photos of trans women from sites and out them, and is like the like most virulent and like brutal face of this type of trans misogyny. And they're very much complicit, and they're very much DGR is kind of reveling in this right now. They're kind of reveling in this like radical feminist like internet presence, because it's giving them validation from the people that they're honestly seeking out to appeal to.